This is CliffCentral.com.
Ben apparently sang this karaoke the other day. Huh?
Nailed it last week, yeah. Nice. I nailed it. I was duetting. I was doing everything. I think when I look back on life, everyone's got to have regrets, right?
Yeah.
I think my biggest regret in life is I'll never, ever be able to grow George Michael's hairstyle in this music video.
It's so good.
Wow. In this music,
it's like a lion's mane.
It is.
It's not hair.
Yeah.
It's a lion's mane.
Suit. And it's the definition of his suit.
But he's also, it's like different colors.
Yeah.
And
it's everything.
It stands up on its own. It like teases itself.
Jesus, he had a lot of hair.
But you said you duetted. Who did you duet with and which were you in the song?
Well, obviously I was.
George Michael.
Well, everyone's George. I mean, this is the thing about the song is that there's so many different layers to it.
No one wants to be Andrew Ridgely.
So he's basically like a few drops of Tabasco on a big bowl of George in this song. Yeah. Not even Tabasco, like.
No. Well, that's a good.
The whole thing about Wham is that it was only ever really George Michael, and there was another guy.
But I don't know why we took the piss out of him before the break for moving on to Monaco and Formula 3 racing.
We haven't told everybody this. So apparently Andrew Ridgely, who was in Wham with George Michael, when Wham split up, he went off to Monaco and did Formula 3 racing.
Motor racing,
it's
and
badass.
Then that just didn't work out for him.
Still, badass.
So then he tried to move to Los Angeles to start an acting career.
Oh.
And that didn't work out for him either.
Bummer.
So that's happened to millions of people. That's not so embarrassing.
And that was all before the year 1990. And then ever since then, he's been in the UK. And they say that he's been involved in a lot of charity work. Uh-oh. Most recently, he's taken part in a cycle slam challenge, which is 18 days long and 1,800 kilometers.
So basically, he did the 947 cycle champ.
It's always sad when they revert to cycling.
Which is a across the French and Swiss Alps. So that's what he's up to today.
And George didn't leave in his will, Andrew, fair's fair, and leave him half of his shit.
That would have been
George
so
Michael's
nice.
Whole will.
Andrew was Kelly Rowlands before Kelly Rowland, basically.
Yeah. Kelly Rowlands is cool. It's the other one.
No, you mean Michelle Williams.
Yeah,
yeah, Michelle. Well, according to a few sources, Andrew's net worth is around £18 million.
Okay.
And I'll take being laughed at on a South African podcast for £18 million.
Yeah. He still gets a cut from sales, Wham sales, and royalties as
I
well.
I get laughed at on here for free. Where's my £18 million? I'll even cycle. Fuck it.
Surprisingly, a lot of his royalty cut, comes from Careless Whisper. Even though Careless Whisper was a George Michael solo song, Andrew is credited as a co-writer, so he still receives thousands of pounds
every single year from that. George was probably the nicest human being ever. It's been revealed after his death. He did so much for charity.
Yeah, he did.
And Andrew was probably just having a wank in his apartment one night. He's like, Andrew,
why do we hate Andrew?
George is like, Andrew, keep it down. I'm writing this song. And he's like, oh, what's it called? He's like, Careless Whisper. It's like, fine, I'll keep it down.
Or maybe he was like, yeah.
I'll give you a writing credit, yeah.
And he was like, just keep it down. And then it's like, well, I was part of that song. Like, not really, Andrew, but yeah. Okay.
Do we know why they broke up?
Where he was like, as a result of a Careless Whisper. And Andrew was like, hey, George, I just heard you in the other room. Try because of a Careless Whisper. Okay, thanks, bro. And like recording with an old school Sony dictaphone, you know, with like one of those tapes, mini tapes in it that were fascinating when you were a kid. I fucking changed a word there.
Imagine that song, as a result of a...
as a result of a... Try because, dude, you save a syllable. It's also a more common colloquial word. Oh, thanks, Andrew! Dictaphone.
What are you doing here, Andrew?
No.
Oh, you know, just
He's
probably a good guy. Everyone's slating Andrew Ridgely.
Of course he's a good guy, but...
Listen, this is ridiculous. We've been talking about Wham for the last 5 minutes.
It is Christmas.
It is Christmas.
Really, I've got more.
All right,
and we failed Whamageddon.
It's just after 7, cliffcentral.com. Today at 8 a.m., we bring you another episode in our series for The Love of Law, where we take a look behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest lawyers. And this guy is amazing. His name is Jones Antunes. He's been a partner at Flaxman since 2000, selected by his peers for inclusion in the best lawyers in South Africa in the practice of litigation. And he's also into art and antiques, among other things. He's a serious lawyer, but you can listen to the interview and hear for yourself. You can find out more at cliffcentral.com too. For the Love of Law is brought to you by Flaxman's Attorneys, one of South Africa's leading law firms. Gord put this picture up on his Facebook. which I was, I very seldom get scared. Like, monsters don't really scare me, but this thing was a real thing once, and it lived.
Yeah.
In the in when was it? The Jurassic.
I'm looking it
Quetzalcoatlus.
You got it there.
Hmm.
It is a fucking, I mean, excuse me for unnecessary swearing, but Gordon. This man, okay, so this thing looks like a hardy dar, but with pterodactyl kind of wings and shit, you know, those batty wings that pterodactyls have, not those like eagly wings, and it's got almost a turkey's head with a long ass hardy dar beak.
Oh, wow.
And it is, let me just work this out, it's about 6 or 7 times as tall as a man. Mm-hmm. Its pointy ass beak is literally 3 times the length of a man, maybe 4.
Well, it's got a giant canoe for a mouth.
It looks like it's got the body of a bat, mm-hmm. and it's got the head of a turkey.
But it's got man arms. It's got human arms.
Yeah, its wings, the middle, the elbow wing, can walk on the ground like the knuckles of a gorilla. And the rest of the wing sticks up behind it. It's very hard to describe. It's also hard to tell people to go and look up because it's a Quetzalcoatlus neuropathy. The largest known flying animal ever to exist. It fucking flew.
Did this thing... Oh.
That's a Quetzalcoatlus neuropathy.
What a terrifying time.
We'll post it on the Gareth Cliff Show, Cliff Central web social medias.
And this thing flew, okay? Now, I just want you to imagine a couple of things.
This thing will shit Forksies.
Imagine the sound when those wings flapped.
Listen, this is a scare. But first of all, the fact, like Gordon's saying, it walked on its like
elbow wings, yeah. Wing elbows.
It's a scary thing. And yes. If it decided to take a crap while it was flying above your car.
Yeah, you'd die.
You'd die.
I mean, it's also its proportions, not just how big it is. It's like its beak is almost as long as its body, and it's sharp and pointy, and it's got like a turkey head with a long, sharp beak, and its face, its head and its beak is also like is 4 or 5 times as long as a man, and its body's 6 or 7 times as long as a man. It's just small, relative to itself. It's like a small bat body with a long neck of a turkey and head.
Let me tell you something. The shadow that this thing would cast as it flew between you and the sun would be like you were going straight to hell. Some monster from Lord of the Rings.
The base of the flapping of the wings. You'd be like, well, fuck, I've got about an hour to find shelter because the Nathralopolis Queris Meninum is fucking 4 km away based on the loudness of the beating.
And you imagine the screech that it made. It must have had an almighty screech.
But it might have been like a Mike Tyson edible where it like flapped and the wings, and then it was like, and you're like, Quarinathopolis. It might have screeched with a lisp.
Quarinathopolis.
The squeals of terror.
Run for the hills, it's a Quarinathopolis.
Never in my life.
Tweet.
I'm going home. I'm done for the day.
Just do yourself a favor. If you want to know why this is so funny for me, go look at the picture of this goddamn thing. And you'll see what we mean.
We're tweeting it out as we speak.
Okay.
And I want to just once try and say it correctly. It's a Quetzalcoatlus northropy. Quetzalcoatlus northropy.
But it is absolutely terrifyingly huge.
Quarinathopolis.
And if it went tweet,
made the Mariah Carey sound.
Okay, it's on our cliffcentral.com Twitter account.
Oh my God, this is really, really the most horrible thing. I just imagine being picked up by one of those things if it came in to get you.
Also, it doesn't have chewy, it's got a pecky beak. It's got a pointy, speary beak, not a chewy, like, munch. You know what I mean? You would literally look like a small goldfish on the end of a hard...
A pointy, speary beak.
Reason number 40,302 why it is great to live in 2018.
Yes, because a Quetzalcoatlus wouldn't be eating you. I mean, that's a really, really... Is that the biggest...
known flying animal
to live? There's an interesting comparison between it and a... It's the size of a giraffe.
But its pointy-ass beak, which is, remember, a stabby, speary beak, is fucking 4 times the length of a giraffe's head.
Oh, no.
That's an amazing graphic.
So it's about the same size as a giraffe.
Yeah, but it's got a beak that's like 3 meters long.
It's frightening.
Made to spear horses.
Really, really frightening thing.
Well, that could actually kebab like three horses.
Easily.
Just go through.
I'm pretty sure they found the bodies of two wrong things on top of each other. Like, they found the world's biggest ever bat, and then they found like the Hardy Door Hardy Door ancestor that was like a Hardy Door the size of a brontosaurus and a bat the size of like twice the size of an elephant. It's got a small bat body. When I say small, I mean relative to it. Its bat body is the size of a. Look,
there's a movie coming out. There's a movie called Meg. Have you seen it?
The Meg. Yes, that's guaranteed to be bullshit.
I know.
Jason Statham and a megalodon.
Yes.
What's a megalodon?
The largest known shark.
The biggest shark.
So it's like Sharknado up another level.
No, but it's good Sharknado.
Yeah, because Sharknado was intentionally a tornado full of sharks.
Yeah.
This is meant to be like a serious action movie about like this one action guy, Jason Statham, trying to save everybody after a megalodon believed to be extinct. But there are still some conspiracy theories to think that they swim deep and live in the deep ocean and might still exist. I mean, I don't know the exact thing, but I think it's about three or four times the length of a great white.
Yeah,
and actually not related to a great white, despite looking like a fucking massive great white. It's not actually related to them.
Yeah, they do not descend from the same branch.
Common ancestor. But it is a shark that could swallow a minibus.
Easily.
What?
That's how big it was.
Just imagine if a great white is the size of a banana, this thing's the size of a cricket bat.
If this movie freaking ends with like Jason Statham just punching this thing in the nose,
and he's gonna dies,
like that's how it's.
No, he'll wrestle.
I can't.
All right, here are some messages, very important, and then we'll get into some of the actual stuff we need to talk about this morning. So, B in Cape Town says, "And wham, just like that, my Wednesday is ruined. Puza Wednesday is now officially a thing. Please don't play Wham again.
It's the pre-end."
I think this is Ben's favorite Christmas song because of a Margate holiday fling back in the day, and he still can't get over it. He wonders if she's still out there thinking of the great Margate holiday that they took together.
Lovely story, but doesn't apply. I'm just a massive... I just have ears, that's all.
And you've never been to Margate?
Went there once, golfing trip, no fling. Just got drunk with my friends.
Mark says, Gord is awesome. Wednesdays are the best.
Thank you, Mark. I love you.
It will shit Folksies. Michelle thinks that's the funniest thing ever.
It will.
Ben is pretty cool too, says Mark. Gareth, you're not too bad.
Thanks, Mark.
But Sia, you're pointless.
Oh, come on.
Sure, that's me.
Sia's literally the only nice one with a nice voice out of all of us.
Exactly. Who are you?
Neither of us have good voices, and we're both dicks. Sometimes we're a bit funny.
Someone else says, the world gives too much attention to...
You've been sitting on that for a while, haven't you, Gord?
You're
a dick and I hate your voice.
And we're both dicks with shitty voices, and sometimes we're accidentally a bit funny, and that's all we have going for us. She is lovely.
Do you guys need some therapy? What's
going
on?
Try to hide that bar behind self-deprecation.
I came in at both of us, therefore it's allowed.
Wow. Someone said, the world gives too much attention to Andile Mkritama and Piers Morgan. Yeah, I agree.
Piers Morgan is a dick, eh?
Yes.
I seriously want to see Gord on mushrooms, says someone else.
Oh, please tell me this is that same guy that always wants to see me on mushrooms. What's his name?
The DMs. Does it say? No.
DM's guy.
Has he DM'd you since last week?
And all the time, man. And he's sweet and nice, but he DMs me nonstop.
Yakballs says, Jesus, I can barely see through the tears streaming down my cheeks. Gord, you need to do a nature show podcast.
Yakballs is actually a very good hip-hop band from the day, so respect to you, Yakballs.
And Ankia says, it sounds on part two podcast... Blah, blah, blah. Reckon you would... I don't understand. Ankia, that's the worst message I've ever received on a screen in my life.
Just try for us, Gareth. Try.
No, I'm not even going to.
Oh, I think she's saying it sounds like what Gord has said on part two podcast. Yes.
I'm actually going to do shrooms with this dude. Fuck it. He's been persistent and polite.
Okay.
And you don't think he's a cop anymore? Because that's what you were thinking last week.
He sends me pictures of shrooms all the time, but that might be because he's a cop. If we go in the field and he hands me the shrooms and puts them in my mouth, surely then as a cop that's entrapment if he arrests me after that. Fuck, it'd be terrifying to be arrested while you're on shrooms.
Would it be bad?
It'd be so bad. Dude. It'd be the worst possible way to get arrested.
Oh, listen, is it just me or are these ads on YouTube getting worse? They now interrupt the middle of your movie.
Not new.
No, but that's not new.
Okay, this has been happening. So I was watching a couple of clips of like some debates and things that I was interested in the other day. It must have been interrupted four or five times with the same stupid ad.
Yeah,
it's driving me crazy.
But the reason that the Facebook ad can sexually violate itself 50 times more than that is because it does the same thing on a 30-second video. You get an ad, and I'm not exaggerating, you get an ad halfway through a 25-second video. You get a 5 to 10 second ad in the middle of your little clip.
It's disgusting.
Yes, I hate them.
Well, I hate them.
There is literally a 1 in 10 chance if the thing is so interesting or I'm so keen for the punchline that I will see a Facebook ad through after they drop a Facebook video through after they drop the ad. And I'm not like being, I'm not using hyperbole or anything. It happens in 20, 30, 60 second videos. They drop an ad in the middle.
I know. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But aren't there ad blockers for this kind of thing? Because yes. I also never cared about the ads.
Everyone can settle down. There are, you can get ad blockers.
Okay. You can settle down.
Well, I'm going to put some of those on.
Don't get your knickers in a knot.
But here's something interesting. Here's a woman with 15 cats and what her husband says about her and his own behavior.
She has a husband. You saw after 15 cats, that was out of the window.
Yeah, me too. I was literally out of a list of I thought she might have had a Quelothoporus, more likely than having a husband. Of course, with 15 cats, she wouldn't have any kind of Quelothoporus.
That's like saying, and after losing both his legs, he went on to run the marathon.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, it could have been a million things you would have said. Like,
Quelothoporus.
Yeah.
Shame.
She has a husband. Like,
she is. Listen to this.
Was he caught shoplifting and this was his sentence?
This is on Dr. Phil, all right?
This is Squishy. That's Lucy. This is Rocky right here.
There's all her cats.
This is JJ. My day starts around 6 o'clock in the morning. That's when I start the feedings. There's 14 bowls. Now this is when it gets tough because I gotta find the cats now. Come on, Dusty. Here, Jay. There, Rocky. Sid's down here in his little hole. I think I got everybody. The second feeding I do is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There you go, Rock. JJ. I'm all over the place feeding. Every time I go to the store, I buy 20, 30 cans of cat food. Got her?
I got it.
She's biting pretty good.
Okay. My cat JJ has an infection, and that was $200.
Ow. Wow.
And now they're together like...
She's going to choke.
She has to have it to get over her infection.
He doesn't look like a... He looks like a normal dude.
He's a regular-looking dude. He's in his mid-30s. She's probably late 40s, 50s.
Right before we go to bed, because the second we walk up the stairs, they all start coming in the kitchen and wanting to eat again. Romo, he's the biggest fan of the treats. We have a cat, Romo, that only
drinks. I just got to stop it for a second here. So... You know that if you have 15 cats and you die, your cats will eat you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your dog will stay and protect you from, like, vultures and shit that, like,
dog will fight
scavengers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Literally a true story.
Yeah.
My dad's cousin, when they were, like, he was, like, my father lost his, like, best mate, who also cousin, when they were, like, late teens, early 20s, and the dude was found dead of something I won't discuss now, but he passed away and he was in the Karoo. And when they found him in a deserty environment, his bull terrier was almost dead from starvation, having kept the vultures and shit off him for like a week and a half before they found him.
Wow. Yeah. Meanwhile, if Ben dies.
So the vibe of the show is completely ruined, and I apologize for that. But your cat will eat you, and your dog won't.
So much more fun with Quetzal, Quattle.
Mm. But that dude is a normal looking dude. Looks like he could probably get laid like easily enough.
Well, but he's living with this woman with 15
and
cats.
And she's also 15 or 20 years older than he is, which I'm down for. I like that. I like the bull tongue and the steak equally. But like, why is it dude like that stuck with an old crazy cat lady?
He doesn't look all too glad
Maybe
to be
he's
in
got
that
a
relationship.
And she agreed to like
to rub it. We always discredit micropenises. They exist and they ruin lives.
I know. And they're a real thing, hey?
They happen.
They're a real thing. Yeah. Tiny little penises.
My very sordid WhatsApp conversations have revealed that micropenises.
No, it's a real thing. And it's defined as a penis so small that it's unable to perform its biological function.
Correct.
Oh, I still think if you... Gee, but that's a crushing sentence, Gord, if it ever was one.
Yeah.
How much we digress?
Yeah, all right, so from 15 cats to micropenises in one sentence.
Back to the cats. I mean, if you died in your bed, Meowsers and Hopkins would eventually start eating.
Meowsers and Hopkins would probably start with the face, yeah.
With the eyes, just to humiliate you in case it only lasts a short while. Sometimes they go... The neighbors will find us in an hour. Let's go straight for the eyes and the nose so that there can be no open casket.
Oh.
Fingers and elbows are more nutritious and tastier, but we only have a short amount of time, Fluffkins. Get to the eyes. You do the eyes. I'll do the nose. If there's time after that, we'll eat the lips.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
And then the left ear.
Close the casket. Meow, meow, meow. Close the casket. Meow, meow, meow.
I think you are in shrooms.
If a cat was suddenly like the size of a human, it wouldn't just like not obey you anymore. It would claw you to death and kill you, but it would do so slowly and take pleasure. If you shrunk yourself to the size of a mouse or your dog to the size of a Quellamanthopterus, it would still sit and feel. It would still do that like shamed face when you shouted at it.
Yeah,
it was the size of a giraffe,
that's
only
a very good
dog,
point.
And you were the size of a cat. If it could swallow you whole, it would still fear you and obey you. But your cat, as soon as it's the right size to kill you, would kill you and kill you slow.
Okay.
Yeah, I still love Blackie Chan very much, and I hope she's not listening to this podcast. Little Blackie Chan, you're so sweet.
Well, according to what you're thinking, she's already thought about killing you. So.
Of course, she's evil that I love her. Like my on-off girlfriend overseas. Moving along.
Wow, Gordon. Wow.
You want to hear more from these people with the 15 cats?
Faucet in the bathtub. This happens about 3 or 4 times a night, starting at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right, I just want to get to where Dr. Phil starts asking them what the hell's wrong with them.
Sorry, serious note though. What did she just say happens with a faucet in the night?
It drinks from the leaking tap the whole time. I mean, like, this is the most interesting thing about her life, but it's not interesting to anyone else. Really, if your cat's drinking from the leaking tap.
That and that she bones a pretty hot younger dude.
Well, good for her. At least there's some light at the end of the tunnel. All right, here, Dr. Phil.
You get up at 3-4 in the morning to turn the faucet on for Romo to get a drink in the bathtub?
Yes.
Because that's the only thing Romo likes to do?
He won't shut up until I get up and turn the water on
drink. Yeah, he will.
This just started.
Let me tell you, if a cat gets thirsty, it'll drink. I mean, if you don't turn the faucet on, trust me.
He enjoys the water running.
Oh, I'm sure he does. you don't enjoy waking up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning for her to go water the cat.
Okay, look, he is a bit funny
and
looking.
Then she'll get mad at me if I'm like, you do it because this is your monster now, and she'll make me go do it. I'm like, well, if we don't do it, he'll stop meowing eventually, and I'll go get water from somewhere else, just like you said, but can't seem to get past
that. You could put
him
where there isn't a bathtub.
I have, and he runs back to the bathtub.
Oh, he knows how to work doorknobs?
I can't believe this is a real problem with somebody.
Okay, look, the Urk's not as good looking as I said. He is a little funny looking, but he can still damn sure do better. You know what she reminds me of? And it's not a fat shaming joke because I'm fatter than she is. Uh-huh. She reminds me of Jabba the Hutt species if they had females. Like if you put a blonde wig on Jabba the Hutt and he spoke in a higher voice.
Yeah, she's not
attractive. She's got that like – it's not just about being overweight. She's got that like shoulders coming out of
Jabba
her ear. No neck. Kind of everything's a bit melted, like she's made partially of wax and it's a hot day type of vibe about her for the listeners that can't see. And he looks a little bit like an Ewok, but he's cute.
But Phil, Dr. Phil here is talking these people through what shouldn't be a problem.
Get a real problem.
I mean, I know he's dealt with some serious cases.
Sure.
And Dr. Phil, I understand, has taken the place of Jerry Springer in some ways. He gets these weird people who've got these problems because this gets him ratings. I mean, we're talking about it now, right? But this isn't a real problem. Like, she's got 15 cats, which is obviously a problem. She's a cat hoarder. But the cat that meows all night and they have to get up and go and turn on the tap in the bath for the cat to drink from it because that's what he enjoys is so – it's not a real problem.
Yeah, my cat scratches my feet, sometimes attacks my feet while I'm sleeping, and then my problem is not so much that, because it's like I chose to have a cat, so the consequences, etc., but it's that I say swear words that no neighbor should have to hear at 3 in the morning coming from downstairs. I wake up screaming profanities, because a cat's just bitten and scratched my foot while I'm deeply asleep.
That's a horrible thing to do. What a cruel and unkind thing.
Yeah, but this is just that general indulgence stuff. This woman thinks it's cute. The cat was bored one day and thought, let's get the tap going.
Let's mess this woman.
Yeah, one day the tap was dripping.
and all the other cats were like, go, Robo, you be that guy, you do it. And they're like, cool, I'll do the tap thing. One of you do the serial knockover thing.
So it basically reckons that the cat's sort of enjoyment of a dripping tap is more important than her and her husband's like right to a full night's sleep.
Yeah, it
is. Everybody got time for that.
And it's not like this is a human child, by the way. The cat will, it's able to get water elsewhere.
I hate the expression fur babies and fur children more than just about anything else. Love your pets. Adore them. Say they are to you as children. Mm. But don't call them fur babies. It's a stupid word. Even call them my babies, my children, whatever you want. But fur babies is just
makes you sound
moronic as
hell. You're deranged. I always knew cat lovers were faulty, says Lee. Who wants a pet that would eat them? Cats belong at the end of a witch's broom.
Oh.
Cats are great. Cats remind you that life isn't always the best thing. You got to fight for your everything you have. Cats keep you humble.
Someone's just seen the picture of the Quetzalcoatl.
Thopolis.
Olopolis.
That thing.
And says, that is the scariest and ugliest thing I've ever seen.
We weren't exaggerating. It's properly horror. And it's real. That shit existed. That wasn't just like a bad horror movie where someone stuck together spare parts from the props department and shot it with a tiny camera so it looks huge. That shit was out there going, baka, 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 baka.
Now, Tyron says, I'm already scared of hardy dogs. This thing terrified the hell out of me.
It's a massive hardy dog with a small bat body.
Yeah, there's lots of people who are suddenly starting to talk about this monster. Someone says, I already retweeted that bird and said that the sound, you have to listen to the podcast part two. Suppose it just showed us the link on the screen. So that's exactly what happened. That was Unkia just clearing up. Mm. And then some people saying that YouTube ads are so annoying. Yeah, everybody's
don't mind
secret.
The ones at the beginning, but the ones that you can
in the middle.
Stop after 10
in
seconds.
In the middle.
The one that it plays the whole 30-second ad, hate that. I just make a list of brands. Like, I've never used Sunlight because of how much I used to hate their ads. I just make a list.
Sunlight?
Yeah, because it's always just condescending ads and insults your intelligence.
Interesting revelations this morning.
But, like, I just make a note of who's made a 30-second ad that's unskippable, because any brand can do that. They just have to pay more to YouTube. 30-second ad that you have to watch. I just like, okay, don't use Knorr anymore.
At the same time, when you were watching Baywatch of the 90s, did you go, ah, damn you, Omo, for advertising right now while I'm looking at Pamela Anderson?
If the ad was terrible, then yes. And I never pulled down hard enough that it made that banging sound. Timing bad.
So apparently coffee naps are better than coffee or naps.
What the hell's a coffee nap?
Exactly. Listen.
If you're feeling sleepy and you need a jolt of energy, there's something you should try. It's more effective than drinking coffee or taking a nap. It's drinking coffee and then taking a nap.
It's called a coffee nap.
Clever
name. It might sound kind of crazy because most people realize that caffeine interferes with sleep. But it takes a little while for the caffeine to affect you. The caffeine has to go into your small intestine, pass into your bloodstream, and enter your brain. And that takes about 20 minutes.
If you spend those 20 minutes unconscious, you're going to wake up feeling pretty great. And to understand why, it helps to know what's making you feel groggy in the first place.
So there's a molecule inside your brain called adenosine, and it plugs into little receptors inside your brain cells and makes you feel tired.
Adenosine is a byproduct of brain activity, so it builds up through the day and starts to slow down your neurons.
Caffeine chemically looks a whole lot like adenosine, and when you ingest caffeine and it enters your brain, it blocks adenosine from fitting into those receptors. A lot of people have said that this is like taking a car and putting a block of wood underneath the brake pedals.
Caffeine keeps your brain from slowing itself down.
The great thing about coffee naps is that sleep naturally clears out adenosine from the brain. So the caffeine doesn't even need to compete with the adenosine to fit into those receptors.
So what's the evidence that this really works?
There's not a huge body of work, but there are a few different studies. When people took a 15-minute coffee nap, they went on to commit fewer errors in a driving simulator than when they only drank coffee or only took a nap.
How do you like that?
I call bullshit.
Why?
I just feels bullshitty to me.
No,
I'm willing to give it a chance.
The adenosine thing is true. You do build up adenosine through the day, and what happens is that actually starts making you sleepier and sleepier.
Okay.
That's why people usually hit around 4 or 5 in the afternoon. You hit a bit of a.
Yeah, so this is like the opposite of serotonin, basically.
Correct.
It's a downer shit that floats around your brain.
So to clear it out, you have to sleep.
Okay.
So when you have a sleep, all the adenosine goes away.
Yes.
And then if you've had a cup of coffee 20 minutes before you wake up from that sleep, a little nap,
okay,
then the coffee doesn't have to compete with anything. So it opens up those receptors and everybody's like, woo, let's go.
I will not dismiss it because I haven't looked into the studies.
You already called
bullshit. I would like to. Yes, I was saying I call bullshit pending investigation.
All right.
And I'd like to see the actual study and know whether it was 10 people who there might have been just correlatory bullshit.
How very factual of you.
Also,
Professor
my
Lords.
Wonderful and best person in the whole world, on again, off again, ex-girlfriend in Spain, is a neuroscientist. And I'm going to ask her to check this out for me because I call bullshit because it sounds like bullshit, but it might be true.
Maybe. We'll see, Gord. You know, I like about you is that you're very skeptical of things.
I will check without dismissing it, but it feels dismissible. It feels like it needs a check. That's all. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Uh-huh. All right, very good. I love what Donald Trump did yesterday. He got Chuck Schumer into the office, the Oval Office. Chuck Schumer is, of course, the guy from the Democratic Party.
Oh, did you see that?
And Trump just tore him a new asshole in his back in front of the cameras. I mean, this is quite something. So Nancy Pelosi sitting there, Mike Pence, they didn't really take part. Chuck Schumer sitting there going, you're not going to do this thing on the border that you want to do. And Trump is like, I'm going to, Chuck, I'm going to do this and you can do nothing about it. Listen to this. It's amazing. This is Trump. And he's obviously cornered. Chuck Schumer doesn't know what to do when the cameras are rolling. He's used to having these discussions behind closed doors. This is why this presidency is so interesting, because you get to see things you would never have seen before. Right.
Talking about the last time, Chuck, you shut it down.
No.
And then you opened it up very quickly. And
20 times.
I don't want to do what you did.
20 times, Chuck, you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wool. None of us have
said. You want to know something?
You've said it.
Okay, you want to put that on my.
You said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. The last time you shut it down, it didn't work. I will take the mantle of shutting down. And I'm going to shut it down for border security.
But we
security.
Believe you shouldn't
okay.
shut it down.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
That's it. He's
and
just
he just got to state boom. His whole campaign platform again. Like the other dude just set him up. It's like that time. In, it's like, yeah, it's like it felt like an episode of Anthony Joshua Bum Wars. It was like he just walked straight into it.
That played out so beautifully
yeah,
for Trump.
He set himself up so
but
badly.
What I love is like these other guys are just, because Trump's got all this experience in television. He's not scared of being real in front of the cameras or playing it up as the case may be. And in this situation, he knows he's got all the legroom to kick Chuck Schumer as far and as hard as he wants to. And Schumer can do nothing about it.
Oh, but he set himself up. I mean, you've got to know your enemy enough at that point to not give the opportunity to reiterate why he wants to do his thing.
Do you know that Nancy Pelosi actually asked during that discussion in the same meeting not to debate in front of the press? She actually said,
oh, no.
I don't think we should do this with the public watching. Now, you know, that is exactly the problem with politicians. That's why we don't trust them. The Democrats wonder why people think they're so soft and they're losers and they're plotting against them behind the scenes. It's because people like Nancy Pelosi go, no, turn off the cameras. We don't want people to see how we get angry about this stuff and we argue. I want to see this. How about you? I think it's amazing.
Yeah, but then you watch Parliament and it's just like, please kill everyone, including me.
No, I know what you mean. But this is different.
Like the heavyweight oaks.
Yeah, sure.
The main oaks in charge. You're the ones essentially that you vote for. I mean, in America, right. It's a popularity contest. You vote for a person.
Right.
You take two factors into account. I am mostly in my life red or blue, and then I like that oak or that lady or whoever.
All right, what do you got going on in the news?
Well, the YouTube, they do this thing every year called the YouTube Rewind.
Oh, yeah?
Where they showcase what they believe is the best of YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
So they're talking about how annoying their ads are. Well, apparently this YouTube Rewind basically is the most annoying thing to anybody who's ever seen a video. It is the second most unliked video ever on YouTube.
What is it?
Well, it's... So YouTube is popular because people look at watch videos like PewDiePie, you know, the people like that who are pulling the piss about things on an ongoing basis.
Right.
YouTube believe that people watch for all these different things like ASMR and Will Smith and all the things that they want to try and portray YouTube as. But the thing about YouTube is that
they want YouTube to look cool, but actually it's a place for a lot of freaky people.
There's a lot of freaky people. So they've got that kid yodeling and all that kind of crap, but people don't like that. YouTube's about creators, people that, like any of us, can go and make our own videos and put it out there.
Right.
And they become popular. But YouTube tries to sanitize everything.
Yeah.
So this video, I mean, it's been a terrible year on YouTube because of a variety of things that have taken place. So
like what?
So the whole Logan Paul thing about the filming the suicide forest.
Oh, yeah.
There's been scams around demonetization. So YouTube's got very, very strict about how you make money, and they can just demonetize your video because you say the wrong things in their mind.
Oh, yeah. So Alex Jones vibes.
Yeah, a huge amount. And then there was a scam around guys Shane Dawson and Philip DeFranco, who had like this shady advertiser that was doing very shady things. So it's, they've had a tough year. But this video has already got 8.8 million downward thumbs. Basically,
ooh,
saying
that's a lot of
shit.
People saying it's shit.
But you know what the most disliked video of all time on YouTube is?
No.
Any guesses?
I'm looking over your shoulder, so I won't compete.
No, I have no idea.
Mariah Carey singing without the music.
2010 Justin Bieber's song Baby.
Really?
9.7 million dislikes.
I bet you it's up there in the most liked videos as well, though. I bet you the dislikes are shadowed by the...
Well, yeah, with these, I mean, look, this YouTube Rewind video has already got 112 million views.
But it's like those Facebook friendship anniversary videos. It's like it's 80% Facebook's animation about Facebook and the little dancing oak with the balloon. But I think that's the birthday video. But it's like you get shown six pictures of yourself with someone who you've got 4,000 pictures with, you've known your whole life and have been friends with on Facebook for 11 years. And it's like a minute long and you literally see seven pictures.
I really hate those. I don't like when people share them with me. I don't like them.
Well, the great thing
to signify your...
I don't like them.
It's just, yeah, I mean, again, Facebook are welcome to brand their own stuff. That makes perfect sense. But it's 75% branding and 25% you and your pal. Whether you like it or not,
yeah,
it's just done badly.
But the great thing about YouTube being YouTube is that then PewDiePie, with his 80 million subscribers, has just basically done his own review video where he just pulls this one to pieces.
Good.
Of course, more people will enjoy that and talk about that.
Good. Oh. I like that those Google corporate assholes can't control everything. They've opened up, you know, this is the point with the internet, right? Is you, it's a Pandora's box. So you open it and you don't know what's going to fly out of there.
Yeah.
They're going to be people with this ASMR stuff.
Gangnam Style.
This Gangnam Style. You don't know what's going to come up out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. If we are sticking with news on the digital world, mm-hmm, the most streamed songs in the 20th century.
Yeah.
I find this top five list very interesting because I think we'd all basically assume a Taylor Swift, a Katy Perry.
Right, like pop stars.
These big pop stars would take it, but actually,
purely streaming, huh?
Purely streaming. These are the top five most streamed songs, mm-hmm, in the 20th century. Number one, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Sure, yeah, certainly.
Yeah,
sure.
Fair enough.
It has now, and most recently with the new movie that's come out, has been streamed more than 1.6 billion times globally.
That song has been voted at in the top 10 of almost every rock chart, pop chart that has ever been produced.
On vinyls, it was number one. On CDs, it was number one. And when they implant the brain control devices in our minds, they'll stream it straight into our brain and it'll be number one then too.
Sucks.
All right, what else is on the list?
Number two is Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Another good one.
I'm surprised by that, but pleased.
But I'm pleasantly surprised teenage because these are the massive,
it's also just a great
classics
punk song
that are really ruling this list. Number three on the list, Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh yeah, Sweet
you
Child
sure
of
you're
Mine.
Not looking in a specific category like dad rock? Like, is this in all? Are you sure? This sounds like adult contemporary classic rock top 100. Good song indeed.
Such a good song. All right, so Sweet Child of Mine, Nirvana.
Guns N' Roses takes it again with November Rain at number four.
I can't believe that's even their second most streamed song. I would think Paradise City or...
Yeah.
I mean, Sweet Child of Mine makes perfect sense, but I would have thought Paradise City or Welcome to the Jungle. No, it is November Rain.
Yeah, but I mean, out of the total list.
It's also a 7,000-year-long song.
And then this is quite the kicker. Number five is A-ha's Take on Me.
Oh, obviously.
Yes!
Obviously. Now that's a good song.
Jeepers, what a song. I mean, that was basically Norway's George Michael, let's be honest.
Shit, that was a good song.
Like, you know, have you ever got like a song lyric wrong, but then even though after you know it's wrong, you can't change it in your brain to what it should be? This has been Take Rodney, Take Knee Rod to me since I'm about 15, and I cannot undo it in my head.
Take Rod.
Take Rodney, Take Knee Rod.
No. That's what you thought it was, you moron.
No, I just sang it wrong once, and I can't undo it.
Love this song. What a great song. It puts you in
a
good mood.
Good song. The acoustic, there's an acoustic version where it's super
beautiful.
Moving.
Yeah, he did it for MTV Unplugged.
It's not up tempo piano.
Morten Harkett was the lead singer. No one gives the other two an aha any shit, do they? Rodney. Take Rodney. Take me. Rod. I can't sing it all, I know. Sorry. I'll be
and
gone in a day or two.
You can play your own game and change it to any two-syllable word and do it forward, then backward.
Well, I only found out that the real lyrics are, take on me, take me on, I'll be gone in a day or two.
Ooh.
It's not Scandinavian death metal, Gareth. It's pretty clear.
Is that it's not actually that clear.
What is that about?
Because he gets so high up there, you can't hear what he's saying.
Yeah, he does.
Sounds like,
but it was a really amazing time to be alive because there was him and then there was Rick Astley as well.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't a time for dance, but it was definitely a time for song.
And that brown trench coat. So it seems classic rock is aging well. Nice. So all of these numbers are from global streams everywhere, including Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, and as well as the official song streams from the likes of YouTube as well. So classic rock, top 5 most streamed songs in the 20th century. Wow.
I like that. All right, good.
It just it reminded me when you said they're Norwegian and you couldn't understand the lyrics. Like, I just remember Michael Learns to Rock were always criticized for having such simple, basic lyrics to their songs.
Michael Learns to Rock. Give me a song from them.
Michael Learns to Rock did lots of songs.
Paint My Love.
You can paint,
Love.
It's the picture of a thousand sunsets.
Listen to you're a big fan.
And the reason that it was so... that when they asked why their lyrics were like so strange or basic or random, they're Danish. And they were just like, we don't have very good English. That's why I paint my love. It's a picture of a thousand sunsets. They were just like, fuck, we got a melody, we got a song. In Danish, it's like moving. Just someone give us words.
It's a true story.
I have not heard their name pop up in like forever.
You know, because Michael can now rock and he's moved on to other things. He's now trying to do Formula 3.
He's now learned how to.
Michael learns to eat Formula E.
Yeah, he's capable of rocking now. He's learned to Formula E and now he's learning organic farming.
So they were Danish, huh? Didn't speak very good English.
No. Michael Learns to Swing was a massive flop.
This is them.
I've never seen.
Yeah, you can tell they can't sing a goddamn word. I mean, they don't understand any of it. I've never seen such a lovely queen. I mean, those are shit lyrics if ever they were written.
Huge commitment. From the skies above to the deepest love.
Felt crazy like this before. All right, it's really bad, actually. There we go.
What? Hate it.
The freedom of a thousand doves.
Of a thousand doves, and dude, this was number one all over the fucking world, and they had other songs too.
All right, here are some important points that have been raised by people who've messaged us on the show. You can do that too, 0797482090. First of all, I'm just replying that creature that you guys were talking about, the Quetzalcoatl, that thing would probably win at everything.
Yeah. Except surviving until now.
But other than that, seems right.
No, but that's to do with the atmosphere.
Someone says, Gord wants to fact check that study on coffee naps, but didn't fact check his granddad's bullshit story about Christopher Robin.
I swear to God, if I ever meet that Urk on the Jaw who tweeted that, who posted that, I will buy all your drinks the whole night. That's chirp of the year.
Someone says, Ash says, PewDiePie's audience of 75 million people just wanted one thing, for PewDiePie to start the YouTube Rewind this year with Clap Clap Your Review.
Yeah.
And it would have been the highest liked video of all time.
So true.
Mr. Schmangel says, Gord, your cat is going to kill you. Ben's cat tried to kill him a few months ago. And what kind of man has cats?
Blackie Chan's too small. I thought about this.
Like, that's what you think.
There's a small cat from Johannesburg.
I don't think Mal was trying to kill me. There was mistaken identity in the dark of the night.
Blackie Chan only wants to make me have no feet.
Just still sticking with that story.
No, there is a very Mal's timid, very timid message. Morning, ... It's Amanda, ... I'm petrified of cats. Very timid message that came from Amanda.
That must be hard, though, because cats are bloody everywhere.
Yeah, Amanda, I can tell you this much. Cats don't care. So they won't actively stalk you. They just don't care about you.
No, but seriously, obviously that's like some sort of a phobia. Like I had a girlfriend years ago whose mom was terrified of birds, and she would freak out so badly at the threat of a bird. No, but the flappiness of them. And like... Fine. As you Gary's way of saying, there's like shit is more interesting than what I'm saying.
A thousand doves.
Oh, no wonder they never did any interviews, because they couldn't speak English.
And they admitted it. They were like, the reason that our lyrics get criticism is because we don't really speak English.
We have in studio Michael Learns to Rock. Guys, great pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having Gareth.
It's
pleasure of Bert to come to studio. Number one hit.
I know a lyric to bend my love.
I got the love to rhyme with dove. People are liking the song. It's our number one.
Oh, Kush my love God.
Mitten.
Apparently
have you seen Terrifying Big Bird, Gareth?
Listen, that big bird has got a lot of people talking this morning. If you want to see, you want to see what we're talking about, just go on to Twitter and
fucking giraffe.
It's exactly the size of a giraffe. Just it's picky, spiky, speary beak.
It's giraffe with wings and a canoe for a beak.
That can
shark canoe.
That can kebab three horses.
Canoe. Please go on and look on our Cliff Central Twitter. You'll see what we're talking about.
Presumably Instagram too, one would assume.
Yes, we'll put it on Instagram too. Unbelievable. All right, that's all we got time for this morning. We're going to wrap it up. Quetzalcoatlus Northropi, the largest known flying animal to ever exist.
Could have just been it could have been like a massive dove released by prehistoric Michael Learns to Rock. But no, it had to be the most terrifying animal of all time well.
It really is. Like I can, in a movie, they'll make a movie about this creature.
I'd be more amazed by that if it was the third biggest flying animal to ever live and the single most terrifying animal to ever live. Rather than, it's the thing that's so amazing about it is not that it's the biggest, it's that it's fucking big
and
it's terrifying as fuck. It shat the carcasses of elephants onto Fred Flintstone's car.
If that thing flew over you with the shadow that would pass, I promise you, you'd poo a little down your leg.
And it's little Michael Jackson, but it couldn't sneak up on you. I mean, if it ran, it would be like, and if it flew, it would be like, boom, boom, boom. So at least you could take shelter.
All right, stop it. Jay says, every time Gord laughs, I think of Muttley.
Yeah, we've had this before. Yes. I do laugh like Muttley.
Gord's ability to go completely off topic, says Dan, and on the world's most impressive tangents is really, really something. A true master of the art.
Thanks, Dan.
And then someone says, I've made my mom a fan of Gord's. She also, ironically, is a fan of Michael Learns to Rock. She's going to love...
She like really large flying animals? Because then she's in for a treat.
Best podcast ever.
She's going to listen to it over and over again.
She's going to love Michael Learns to Rock, Gord, and
large flying animals. Mom's three right, favorite things.
Stop, I'm calling it quits. This is enough. Enough, we've done enough. All right, you've done enough. Here it is. Australia is starting to clamp down on South Africans trying to get visas by hooking up with Aussie women. The men naturally claim they're in love, but Australian officials are putting them through stringent tests to prove that they actually care about these Australian lasses. Tests involve competing in drinking competitions with their females of choice, having a fist fight with their dad, and being lazy lovers. Failure in any of these categories sees them back on the first flight to South Africa. So watch out.
Scoring Aussie women is the second easiest thing to do after writing Michael Learns to Rock songs.
Elon Musk has suggested that Tesla cars may be available in South Africa by the end of 2019. He said he would have introduced his electric cars sooner, but there just wasn't any surety that the country has enough power to power them. Thanks, Eskom. And that is all we've got time for today. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com. Don't miss out on our For the Love of Law, brought to you by Flaxman's Attorneys. A new episode of that out now. And if you want to find out about what goes on behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest lawyers, you're in luck. That's up next.
This is CliffCentral.com.